Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of UFOs and the Paranormal. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and each week we, of course, explore various aspects of UFOs and the paranormal, including the full range of stuff. I mean, there's no subject that we're afraid of at least exploring. And I'm really excited tonight, actually, because tonight we're going to be talking about channeling. And our guest tonight is actually a channeler herself. Her name is Christina Keene, and she's been channeling an entity that goes by the name of Sophia, who has been imparting to her these amazing pearls of spiritual wisdom and just transformational insights into the human condition. And for those of you who don't know about channeling, it's basically a process where a person lets their personality step aside while another entity, presumably non-corporeal, from another dimension, comes in, inhabits the body for the purpose of imparting messages and knowledge to help advance spiritual enlightenment among humanity. Probably the most famous of the channelers, or among the most famous, is Jane Roberts, who channeled an entity called Seth. Jane Roberts wrote a series of books about her experiences, and actually they were written largely by Seth himself, and were bestsellers. And since then there's been a lot of channeling coming from a number of different people. Another very famous channeler is Jay-Z Knight, who channels an entity called Ramtha. There's another one. Daryl Anka channels Lazarus, I believe it is. I'm not sure about that one. But I've been to see channelers myself, and I am totally convinced that it's a valid phenomena. I think it's similar to mediumship, but it's more controlled, I think, involving one entity. It's sort of the flip side of possession, where possession is where someone is inhabited by a spirit who has evil intentions and wants only to destroy and cause havoc, whereas with channeling, it's exactly the opposite. The messages that come through are profound, they're transformational, they're deeply spiritual, and I, for one, just love them. They're very, very uplifting. So I'm very, very excited to have our guest on tonight, Christina Keene, who, as I said, has been channeling this entity named Sophia for many years. She has a website, if you'd like to visit. The website is ChristinaSophia.com. That's all one word, www.ChristinaSophia, ChristinaSophia.com. So, Christina, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Thanks.
And anyone listening out there, this is a call-in show, so if you'd like to give us a call and ask our guest a question, please feel free to call in. I'll give you the number right now. It's 888-228-4494. That is toll-free, 888-228-4494. So, Christina, how did this all start for you? I mean, channeling is still, I think, a pretty controversial subject, even among paranormal investigators in the whole.
It's still on the extremist out there. So, well, for me, it was a big surprise, actually. I grew up pretty conservative, Irish Catholic, so that all of this back in the day would have probably scared the heck out of me, actually. It started when my dad had crossed over in 97, and I just became really curious to know where he had gone, what had happened to him, and I had been experiencing some health problems myself. So I'm one of those people that people say I'm a skydiver. When I go into something, I do it hardcore. And so I went for it, and I started researching, and I really started to have mediumistic experiences where I knew my dad to be in the room and started getting messages from my relatives on the other side.
Wow.
And not long off, and that was huge to me.
I imagine.
Even a big deal to me. And from there, it kind of escalated where I had a big psychic opening. So I'm not sure if people are familiar with that, but it's where, you know, lots of information is coming in all at the same time. So it was a little nerve-wracking for me. I didn't really know what was going on, but I could sense things about people. I sensed the beings that were around them. And for me, it was all, what the heck is happening to me? So thank goodness that I knew my husband, who's now my manager. At the time, he was a friend, and he was able to explain everything to me. And not long after, I actually just spontaneously started to channel Sophia. I didn't even know what channeling meant, actually, but it was through a movement practice that I had, and I'm a dancer, and so I knew that these movements weren't mine. And then the day after, I had this moving, oh my goodness, who is this? What's this? Sophia started to speak through me. So, yeah, it was a journey.
Well, let's back up for a second. I mean, were you skeptical?
I know, sorry, long story.
Were you skeptical of, you know, life after death and ghosts and all this stuff before this happened?
Well, I think what happened in terms of my first experiences with my dad coming to me were so profound, and we were at, it was, so many things happened to me that it was hard to be skeptical, because things kept on happening that people around me, even their mouths would drop open and say, well, that was really weird. Like, lights would flicker on when I would talk about my dad. Big, like, sweeps of wind would come through the room. So I had other people confirming it for me. I guess it was so experiential that I wasn't skeptical, because I was experiencing it. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely does. In fact, I can totally relate to what you're saying, because pretty much, I mean, a very similar thing happened to me after my mom died. I became very interested, and I dived into the deep end of this field and read everything I could get, and started to have a lot of really amazing experiences with her spirit, presumably.
Right. And so I imagine it's so, well, for me it was so amazing that he had a similar personality, that I recognized him, you know, and then my other relatives were really, I was able to distinguish, oh, yes, that is my grandmother, who was the old whiskey drinking, cigarette smoking, like, you would smell smoke in the room, so, you know, I could really start to distinguish these personalities, which started to be evidence for me, but I can't say, I mean, I wasn't nervous or skeptical, but everyone around me really was.
Right. Well, these experiences that were happening to you, were they, like, manifesting physically, or was it something you saw in your mind's eye more? You know what I mean?
Well, since I'm really clairsentient, it's really very physical. So you would smell the cigarettes in the room, lights would flicker on around, and you could see that people, it was something that I could feel, but it seemed to affect everyone in the room. So I think my opening helped everyone else sense it or see it, but most people just wanted to turn away and not look at it and run out of the room. So I had that effect. People were running out of the room wherever I was. And my family was really skeptical. They didn't know what to make of the whole thing at the time. So, and then being in a psychic opening, you know, I was receiving lots of information about past lives and experiencing what I thought to be were people's death dates, which were in the future, but I didn't know that they were in the present. So I'm not sure if you've had a psychic opening or that experience. It's one of those disorientating things where you're opening up to the other realms and you're trying to get used to it. So have you had that experience?
Oh, absolutely. I totally can relate with what you're saying, because you're flooded with all this information and you can't place it, and you're
right.
Wondering where it's coming from and what it means, and should you tell people?
Exactly. And I really didn't know what to do with it. And then this was about 10, 15 years ago, back on the East Coast, where mediumship was still, I mean, they had tarot card readers. I went to the local shop to try to figure out what's going on, what's happening to me. And they weren't real familiar with mediumship. So I thought people were going to have information for me, and they didn't. And thank goodness that John, my husband now, he was a friend, and I just happened one day, asked him, did you read Conversations with God? And he said, of course I have. And before long, he was the only person I knew to help me out to figure all this stuff out. So thank goodness.
Well, so it's still controversial? I mean, do you get people who are skeptical still in your family and around you?
Well, yeah, my family has really come around, because once it all calmed down for me, I actually ended up moving from the East Coast to the West Coast to be around my husband's family, which he grew up with. His mom's a medium, and he had channels in his life since he was born, actually. He loves the story that when he was 3 days old, a channeled being was holding him because his mom had channels in the house all the time. So this was really normal to him. So thank goodness, because it wasn't real normal to me.
Well, I think the West Coast is a lot more open to this stuff, or it's more popular here for whatever reason.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people come out here because they feel different or want to explore spirituality. So once I got out here, I started to really train in it and decide that I was going to get grounded, because I was not very grounded on the East Coast just because I was so new to it all. And I think I was wowed by it and kind of, like, showing people, like, oh, my God, do you want to hear a message from so-and-so? Like, not realizing that that's not real cool. That, like, 10 years ago, that people got really afraid of me. So by the time I came to California, I trained in it, and then I learned how to bridge these subjects to my family. In the meanwhile, I had a grandmother, another grandmother who crossed over, and then my own family started to have their own experiences. So they've slowly come around, but I'd have to say, like, college friends and all, and people from my old life still probably think of me as kind of a freak. So I'm kind of pushed out of that realm now. And now I'm officially the Californian weird gal. So it's okay. I don't mind, because for me, the Sophia coming through, it feels so amazing. It feels like an alternate realm, and the wisdom that comes through, it, to me, it always resonates. So it's okay if someone else is afraid, because I'm not afraid of it, and it has helped me vastly, and I see it over and over again to help someone else. So I'm not afraid of people being afraid of it. I was afraid in the beginning, so I welcome
well,
fear.
Well, it is different. I mean, it's not every day that this happens to people.
Right. Yeah, I know. But I think the more I talk to people, the more I hear versions of channeling, or, you know, this amazing poetry came through me, or, I mean, I hear people referencing channeling more than, I mean, I really think if I would listen to TV or radio, maybe 3-4 times a week I hear the word channeling, you know, in and out, whether someone's making a joke like, oh, you're channeling Mozart or something, but it's still referenced all around, and so now I can smile and say, I think people really have a lot more alternative experiences, they just don't recognize it as that.
Right. Well, The Color Purple, written by Alice Walker, which I think won the Pulitzer, she said that she totally channeled that entire book. And I think
right.
that most writers and painters and singers and the people in the creative arts are channeling whether they agree with it or not.
Yeah, I totally agree as well. Same as a dancer, I feel like something comes through you and you let it move through you. So I think channeling, the word just has a lot of stigma to it right now and a lot of fear attached to it. But I think all of us, in our own rights, are channels. I just happen to, well, I'm good at it to begin with. I just am. It just kind of happened. But I've also trained and studied at it so that I can speak on it and help bridge people's fears and kind of answer all those questions.
Well, Christina, that's another question I wanted to ask you. Is, I mean, how do you train to do something like this? I mean, once you recognize that you have this ability and you're interested in,
right.
I guess, fostering it or cultivating it,
it wasn't easy at first, actually, because when I looked around, there's not a lot of American schools. I found things that had the names, like, I don't know, Matrix of so-and-so in it, and I looked around and there weren't that many places in America that I felt comfortable training at, because I just felt like, I'm sorry, but I thought they had woo-woo names. I hate to say it, but I did. And I really wanted to be practical about this. So I ended up finding some research about England, and Stansted, it is the Arthur Findlay Institute in Stansted, England, that has been training mediums and channels for years. So I hopped on a plane, got over there determined to really figure all of this out, and trained with 75 other channels, where we spent a really intensive period of time in trance every day and helping you bring it through and grounding it. And then also the practice is really about sitting with a group of people, or they call it in England sitting in circle. And then I, with my husband, after I came back from school having this intense training, where I literally walked in still nervous about it and walked out feeling like I had been doing it my entire life. And then when I got home, I spend sometimes 2 to 3 hours actually channeling with my husband, bringing through the information. And I've gone from being able to hold it from 15 minutes where I can channel all the way up to 5 hours now and full-bodied, open-eyed, walking around. And I don't know, I'm one of those intense people that really enjoy bridging the work out into the world. So we bring Sophia out into the world, and people don't actually know that I'm channeling. So you get to watch, how does Sophia respond to the guy at the grocery store? You know, and it's really fascinating, actually, because people, you can tell that people feel something is different. So it's been a really fun journey.
Well, what can you describe the process of what it's like to go into a trance and what's happening to you physically and mentally and emotionally?
Well, I think for a lot of people it's a version of a meditation or letting go. For me, I had worked with breath, so you'll hear me take deep breaths, and it's like, for me, as a dancer, I'm letting go of all my muscles and allowing movement to come through me. So I relate it to dance in some ways. It's a version of, I don't know how to say it any better, but letting go. It's I let myself go. And then in the beginning, I used to feel a lot of pressure around the head, and I would feel like a weight on my body of something like, so they talk about the energies coming down and me moving up. So I would feel this energy or weight of Sophia around my head, and it would take me a while to breathe it in and allow it to actually come through my body until my voice was ready to allow her voice to come through. And then for a long time, I, you know, didn't want to open the eyes because that was very disorientating. So that took a whole nother version of, so for me, I'm not asleep. I'm actually conscious, and I'm kind of sitting or standing next to Sophia when I'm in group. When I have private clients, I tend to take off and leave them, so it's just you and Sophia. But when I'm in a group, Sophia's goddess, and she's quite a character, so you never know what she's going to do or say. So I like to know what happens or what has happened. And also, being a dancer, I'm pretty sensitive about my body. So I don't think I have the same comfortability as other people who say, yeah, get me out of my body and let me go and, you know, take a hike somewhere, which some channels actually go on journeys and they don't remember any of the material. But I hang out. I hang out next to Sophia.
Can you move around the room? I mean, is it like an out-of-body experience, or do you feel like you're still looking out of your eyes?
No, it's kind of like I'm right next to her, so I'm kind of sitting next to myself. So if she's moving, I would be walking next to her. So I'm pretty attached to my body. I think, again, my dancing training, I don't like to be that far away from my body. When I'm in a private session, I'm typically in a comfortable setting, in a room that I know, and I'm totally able to walk away. But when I'm in a group, I think there's a piece of me that's very protective of my own body. You know, Sophia's a hoot. Like, sometimes she'll be like, yeah, let me go sit down on that person's lap. And I'm like, I don't know about that. She's a character, and she loves being in a body, given that, you know, goddess does not have a body. So it's pretty an exciting experience for someone who is not in body to be in a body. So I like to keep track of my body.
All right. Well, another thing I wanted to ask you is, has Sophia revealed much about who she is or her origins or her relationship to you?
Well, she talks about it all the time. Sophia, it's a lot to take in. So I know who she is, but I let go of who she is. So Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom, and she's considered to be the counterpart to God. So she would be the female god, or she would be considered the goddess. So if you took all of the goddesses and you combined them, that would be Sophia.
Wow.
So, yeah, wow, it was a lot for my brain to handle. And the idea of it is pretty big. So it's for me, the one of the big openings for me was the Neil Donald Walsh book's Conversations with God. That as soon as I found them, I'm sure a lot of people have this experience. You felt like they were written for you. And then later to find out that I'm channeling goddess, I feel like I'm bringing through, just like he's writing down his conversation with God, that I'm bringing through the counterpart. Or it is like speaking to God, yet she's very playful, just like the god in Neil's book. She's sassy, and she has some things to say. So it's pretty different to the Catholic version of God. And I don't know that I ever thought about goddess coming from a Catholic point of view, but I always imagine someone giving more commands or telling you how to live versus having a dialogue or conversation. And that's what she's really about, sitting down and conversing with you and bringing your wisdom to the truth, which is very different from having laws laid before you.
Well, you say this started first with, you know, various spiritual experiences. Now, when did Sophia first come, and what was that experience like?
Yeah, well, it's funny because now that I look back, I can see that Sophia has been with me my whole life. I just didn't know about it. So a couple of those examples, I found a lot of pictures where you can actually see, like, it's spirit or an image of women, of a woman. I have one when I'm 3, a woman touching my head. I have other pictures where there are orbs of light around my head. And I love this story that when I was 3, I had told my mom that I was going to, you know, everyone, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I said, a messenger. And she said, a messenger for who? And I said, God. So, you know, that is my version of goddess. And then I used to say that I had an imaginary friend that used to speak to me in the closet that I called Christina. I was actually called Tina growing up, so my full name was Christina. And I think it's funny because my business name is Christina Sophia Incorporated. So it's like I had put that channeled version, that channeled me being a channel in the closet, but I would give my mom and people around me messages from my imaginary friends. So that was when I was really young. And then when I actually consciously knew of Sophia, it was that movement piece that I felt that I wasn't moving my body. And then I was sitting with a friend, and she came through and said, I'm Sophia, and she talked about herself like the wind. I am the wind that's around you. I am all things that's around you. And she went along to give messages to the friend that I was sitting with about her grandfather who had recently passed away. And this poor girl was frozen, like, and Sophia probably talked for 25, 30 minutes, but I felt like it was so great. Who is this? The wind. Great. I was excited, but this girl was pretty nervous about the whole thing. So by the time I came back, I didn't have an explanation. You know, she looked at me like, what was that? And I said, oh, that wasn't that so cool, just thinking, because it feels so good in the body, and it felt so amazing, and the information was so cool that I didn't think twice about it being odd or weird. So she just introduced herself to me quite suddenly, actually. And then by sitting down with my husband, John, I was able to get more information about who Sophia was, and he had been working with a channel who was channeling Saint Germain, Saint Germain gave a lot of information about my agreements with Sophia. So a lot of my information in the beginning came through Saint Germain because I was trying to figure out, why am I channeling? What is this all about? So it was really nice to not be channeled through me, to have an outside being give me guidance. And I still go back to that resource, actually.
Well, I was going to ask, has Sophia ever said why you in particular, or...
Well, she talks about that as agreement that we have made, and that we have done this many, many times, and that, and it feels like we've done this many, many times. And in some ways, I've agreed to give her a certain portion of my life, and that to bring her messages to the world, so that, and that in my own right, I think a lot of the work she talks about, intuitives, or what we would call light workers or healers, and how we have spent lifetimes helping the planet. And so this is kind of my agreement of how to be the healer, where I just open myself to be the channel, and I'm not doing that hands-on healing all of the time with the rest of the world, so that I can pursue other versions of myself that's always not about more. I'm a dancer, so I really have a whole other vision of a dance performance kind of side of myself. So I've agreed to give her a certain portion of my life, and that will be my healing and what I offer to the world, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, it definitely does. Well, everyone, you're listening to UFOs and the Paranormal Over Our Heads. I'm your host, Preston Dennett, and we're speaking tonight with our guest, Christina Keene. We're talking about channeling, specifically how she is channeling a being named Sophia. It's very interesting stuff. If you want to visit her website, it is www.christinasophia.com. That's all one word, christinasophia.com, christinasophia.com. And she's also got 3 CDs out. which actually have the messages directly from Sophia herself, I believe, and they're called Life's Purpose, Soul's Unfoldment, To Manifest Your Dreams and Visions, and a third one, Embracing Your Doubts and Fears. Very interesting stuff. So, Christina, now, when you're having a session, are you still in control? I mean, can you end it? I mean, you said you were able to extend it for longer and longer periods, so I'm assuming you do have control over what's going on to a certain extent.
Yeah, well, in sessions, I already have a framework for it. So when I sit down with one-on-one clients, I'm usually a half-hour time or an hour time frame. So I have a timer, so that's my indication of when to come back. So when the timer goes off, I check in. And also, I've kind of made an agreement with Sophia that if I had ever felt very uncomfortable or that I could be back in a moment. But I've actually never had a session where I have come running back to my body saying, what's going on here? Thank goodness. And then in groups, I always have the ability to come back. I can take my body back in a second. And I never have. I mean, we have come to an agreement of sometimes, again, she doesn't have a body, so she's not used to drinking water in the way that I need to drink water in order to do this work, or she speaks incredibly quickly. So my temperature tends to heat up. So there are little things that when I'm doing a group, I have to kind of check in with her. Yep, the channel needs to sit down now. The channel needs some water because she's really focused on, she's goddess who reflects energy back. So she's really focused on everyone that she's speaking to at the time. And not that she's forgetting about me, but she's very involved in what's going on. So I have to not forget about me. And that was actually a hard lesson to learn after years and years of feeling tired a lot of the times because it's a very exhausting practice. As much time as I channel, I actually have to give an equal amount of time to rest afterwards. So if I channel for an hour, I need an hour to be down. And it's a version of opening and closing so that when I finish channeling, I'm extremely psychic or sensitive. So it's really, I don't want to be talking to people. So I tend to put on a hat to shut it all down and try to be by myself so I'm not picking up the world's stories. You know, I really don't want to know what's going on with the world. So, I mean, it's interesting, but at the same time, it's just too much information that I've been open for too long. So it's a version of shutting down and being quiet and getting back grounded because really she's bringing, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, whatever dimensional information through me, and I'm pretty committed to getting back to the third. Yeah.
Of course.
Well, that's where we got to exist, right? So.
At least for now.
And it's just not really fun where, you know, I've had after groups that people are shaking your hands and, you know, you just don't want to be picking up people's stories and their information. It's like people are always saying, oh, you're psychic, tell me what I'm thinking. And I say, well, why would I do that? Like, why do I want to know what you're thinking about right now? So I think it's really fun. You know, I play with this and I try to educate people as they're throwing out the typical psychic, you know, lines to me all the time. So I think it's fun to kind of educate that, no, psychics are not about always predicting the future and, you know, reading your minds and kind of parlor tricks or games. You know, I take my work pretty seriously, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. The messages that come through by channeled entities are almost universally very, very positive and deeply spiritual and talk.
Right.
They seem to focus mainly on spiritual enlightenment. I mean, for, like, the Seth material is mostly, like, you create your own reality, which is similar to what the Ramtha material, which is basically you are gods and you can create along with God. So is this basically what Sophia is saying, or what's her...
Yeah, well, I think the thing that's different about Sophia, so yes, she's definitely going to give universal information about you are the creator, that you are God, goddess, and she's also not bound by any dimensional point of view. She's considered goddess, and she's from all places. She's considered all things. So I think what's really different about Sophia being channeled is that she's really actually focused on third, fourth, and fifth dimension, that she's really about giving you practical now tools that help you manifest. So, I mean, I know that I'm the creator of all things, yet some days that's not the most practical thing when I'm doing my laundry and, you know, trying to pay a bill. And she's someone that's really interested in being next to you when you're in your laundry, saying, what's the metaphor of that laundry, paying that bill. So, I mean, she is so practically orientated some days that I think people that are used to channel material that are all very universal, we're all universal love and light. I mean, Sophia can curse and swear and play games and, you know, flirtatious with you, which is very different from other beings that are channeled. So she goes up and down in all realms, and she's not afraid to touch upon any subject. And what she does is reflect you back to you, which is not necessarily what a being who's from a certain dimension. They're reflecting their dimensional perspective to you, and she's reflecting you back to you. So I think it's been really interesting to watch people who are used to channeled material go, not knowing what to do with a flirtatious being that's asking you to put wisdom on the table. So a lot of people are used to asking a question and listening to a channeled being giving you the information that says, yes, take this amount of tools and try this. She's going to work with you back and forth to pull out your own tools and your own pieces of wisdom. So she gives plenty of wisdom, but she's also going to put the power back in your hands over and over again, which is a little bit different. And she's playful and very fun in a way that I found some of the material, the channel material, to be fun, but sometimes it's so serious, and she's serious but really utilizes play as one of the biggest tools she works with, that if we on this planet lighten up a bit more and play a bit more, that it could be a lot more fun to, you know, achieving this enlightened state that we're all looking for if we let go of working so hard at it.
Right. Well, I'm fascinated by the whole subject. I had an opportunity once to visit a series of channelers, and It was amazing to me because they all basically gave the same messages to me. I asked them specifically, why am I so obsessed with UFOs? Because I am, and I really don't have a good reason. I'm not a contactee or anything like that.
Right.
And they all basically said that I was an ET in a past life and am here to help the transition, which I thought was fascinating because, first of all, they all said the same thing. And it does kind of explain it a little bit. So I'm convinced that the information that's coming through is valid.
Well, it's really funny you said that, because actually when we were preparing for this interview, I was looking through the site, looking at your picture, and I said, oh man, he feels like such ET energy. I said, wow, he has that feeling. So yeah, I think it's something you can read of somebody's field, and that whole not necessarily having the experience but maybe knowing it from a past life or having been. I would say that my husband has that experience of not being of this planet as well.
Very interesting. Now, when you were first contacting Sophia, would she talk to you? And then it became, because there's some channelers who say that they're not actually channeling, they just hear it in their head and then they speak it.
Right.
And then it eventually moves to direct voice channeling, I guess you'd call it.
It's never been like a clairaudient or mediumship thing for me. It's always literally been her coming through, or because I'm not someone that hears information. So I'll notice that I may do things that are Sophia inspired. So I may do something that is Sophia maybe saying. I feel things, so I don't hear it. So I end up doing Sophia-like things versus hearing her. And really my first experience conscious was her speaking through me. So I don't hear her voice in my head, thank goodness. And once you get a taste of her, she's a big personality, so it's nice to have a break when she's not speaking through me, that I'm not hearing her all the time. I'm thankful for that because, again, she's a big, great personality to be around, but it's nice to have a little bit of silence as well.
But she's not, like, always barging in and giving you advice about how you should live your life or things like that?
No, well, I think we made an agreement that she had played a big part in my life up until I started channeling, kind of guiding me towards all the experiences that she thought, or maybe we agreed upon, that I would really need to prepare myself to via channel. So I feel like she had a very heavy hand in guidance that I wasn't conscious of until I started to channel her. And then from there, I mean, we definitely have worked out kind of boundaries on when she talks in my life and when she doesn't. Because I channel a lot. I channel like 30 to 40 hours a week. So I kind of give a big piece of my life over to her. So there's times that I actually prefer to go and get a channeled reading from Saint Germain to get someone else's perspective, because I'm somewhat always hearing her voice coming through my own mouth through all the time I'm spent channeling. So,
Can you ask her questions for yourself, I mean, for your own personal information, or does she answer mostly for other people?
Yeah, I can. Well, I really do that through my husband. So John will sit for me and ask the questions. And then I found that she's so really directed on, for I think her role in my life was about preparing me to be a channel that can really hold her and allow her to be as big as she is, and that I can work with other guides so it doesn't get in the way of her giving the message to the world, because that's, I mean, she really has a lot to say to the entire planet, and I think sometimes being the channel of that, it's easier to step away from it a little bit and to be with someone like Saint Germain that guides me. She gives amazing guidance to the entire, you know, everyone else, but sometimes I would rather just distance myself and hear guidance from somebody that doesn't come through me again, because, again, it's hard to channel for yourself because it's your mouth moving and her saying things that she has a playful perspective, and sometimes to me it's like, oh, she's beating me up, and she's not beating me up. It's just coming through me, so that's how I'm perceiving it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah. It's an odd relationship.
It's interesting, though. I mean, this is definitely a more interesting way of living your life than having to do the 9-to-5 office job type thing.
Well, I'm really grateful. And each day, whether or not she's speaking to me, each day there's evidence that there's amazing magic going on in my life. So I don't necessarily need Sophia to guide me, because I feel that by the work that I do daily, I'm guided. And yes, that is a blessing. And I honor 9-to-5, but at the same time, I've really found freedom in living this kind of obscure life that I do.
Right. Well, and you actually, I mean, you really enjoy doing it as well, right?
I really enjoy doing it. And to watch people, I think for me, the greatest thing is to watch the transformations, that she's able to really sit with someone, whether it's for 5 minutes on a radio show or an hour time that she's spending in a one-on-one session, and to really hear and see the transformations that are going on, and to see that they're lasting if you stick with them, that if you follow. I mean, she asks you to do some really silly things that seem like, oh, why am I going to do that? But if you try it over and over again, you'll find that her tools are really actually successful. So it's really amazing. I mean, I have clients that are, I have a 78-year-old woman who has just started dating and wearing red lipstick and, you know, has this major transformation in her life that she's feeling the most empowered she has ever felt in her life. And I mean, that's pretty amazing to see and to witness and have that feedback that, wow, what I'm doing as work is helping someone really find the empowerment, what they're considering at the end of their life, you know, or at the later part of their life. So it's been amazing, and it's all across the board. I mean, I've worked with kids 14 all the way to 70-something,
wow.
So it's pretty rewarding that your work can touch so many different people.
Right. So you do personal phone sessions as well?
Yeah, the phone sessions, and then I'm in the Los Angeles area, so I do one-on-one sessions, which are actually really fun as well to watch, because I am a dancer, so I have the total ability to completely let her come through my body, and she uses gestures. I mean, one of the things she talks about is that language or words are just a very limited form on your planet, on this planet, your planet. Woo! maybe I am from another planet too. but that she really uses gestures, the facial expression she uses. It's really fun to watch people who know me really well and that don't know her to be so surprised on how differently she holds my body and how she speaks and how my body looks when she is coming through. So,
wow. How long does it take you to get into the state where you can channel her? I mean, is this something you can, like, snap your fingers and you're ready?
It's funny. I actually can. I'm someone that can step into trance in any moment. If you can kind of feel her circling around, or I can just call her forth in a second. But I actually prefer to actually take a couple of deep breaths. So I actually have about usually 30 seconds to a minute practice where I'm taking breath. But a lot of radio programs that I've been on are more mainstream, and the last thing they want to hear is someone breathing on the air. So I've kind of been forced to cultivate that I can bring her through in a second's time. So, but my preference is to take at least 30 seconds to a minute to allow my body to acclimate.
Right. Well, now tell us about these three CDs you've got going. That's Sophia's Wisdom?
Yeah, they're three different CDs. So, the first one is Life's Purpose, or she actually calls it Soul's Unfoldment. So each CD is based around a subject matter that Sophia spends an entire hour, probably a little bit more than that, actually kind of taking you through her perspective and leading you through different tools to actually get to this. I mean, one of the questions that I get asked, or she gets asked all the time, is, Sophia, what is my life's purpose? So the CD is really, really focused on how to understand that concept of life's purpose. And then, again, she's really about giving you homework. I mean, she calls it homework. She says, pause the CD, go get this, go get that. And she really gives you, which is fun, you know, it's fun. And it's a little demanding sometimes. It's a little like, whoa, is Goddess really telling me to, you know, go do this? But she plays around in a way that it kind of feels like a dialogue. It's not just someone talking at you for an hour. It's someone talking with you, and she's playful. And each series kind of leads into the next one. So life purpose, then typically when people are asking questions, okay, now I understand, or I know maybe the vision for myself or what I want to manifest in the world. And then the second one is the tools and techniques to manifest your dreams and visions. So then, again, she's asking you to clarify what you wish for, but she also really talks about the idea that as humans that we can't comprehend the fullness of who we are, and that the universe really likes to surprise us so that we can shape dreams, but allow them to be even greater or grander than you imagine. I think that was new for me too, because I thought, well, you know, you get a lot of things about The Secret. You think one thing and manifest that. And, you know, she helps guide you and dance the dance that maybe you're dreaming about that car, but instead, you know, a beautiful woman shows up at your door instead that looks like that red convertible. So,
right.
And that how the world doesn't recognize that your red convertible showed up at the door just in high heels instead, you know. That's a very Sophia thing. She works with red high heels and sports cars and this whole thing. She really works with kind of the common, the everyday stuff around, you know, manifesting practical things and then bridging that into kind of the spiritual realms and how to bring that even to bigger pictures so that the car actually has really profound meaning, which is really fun. She does a whole sports car piece in there, which is really fun. And then that leads to the last one, which is Embracing Doubts and Fears. And this is a piece that she's really known for in terms of Sophia is considered the under goddess or the shadow or the veiled goddess. So she's really about looking at your shadow side or what people would sometimes call your negative side, I guess, and how to really embrace. So instead of looking away from those sides, how you can look at them and play with them. So she does playful things like opening up the closet, like the things we hide in our closet with a little flashlight. and, you know, that you can empower yourself. She does a whole piece around, like, let's go see some horror films so that, you know, this idea of being scared, you know, doesn't have to be so terrifying, that your doubts don't and your fears don't have to consume you. You can play with them and you can have conversations with them. I think that's what's really powerful about Sophia is that she's not... I imagine some material is all about looking towards the positive, and she's about looking at both sides and valuing a darker side as much as we're valuing the light side and being able to embrace all parts of you. And I think that's what I really love about her, is not looking away from anything. And a lot of that work, she kind of works with looking at news programs, how to see war differently, you know, all of the practical things that are actually happening on the planet right now, how to weave all of those fears and doubts into your present moment reality so they're not cursing you, they become a blessing instead of a curse.
Right. So, these are available on your website?
They're on the website. Yeah, you can buy them individually or you can buy them as a packet of three. And there's lots of other information on the website. There's a whole question and answer page and explains who Sophia is and who we are. So it's a lot of great information on the website.
Now, Christina, I don't want to put you on the spot, so please feel free to say no because we've only got like 10 minutes left. But can you bring Sophia in and give us our audience?
Yeah, of course. I'm used to people speaking to Sophia the whole time, so this is great. I never get this much time. It's all usually about Sophia, so 10 minutes for her is just great for me. Well, really, most people are more interested in actually hearing Sophia's perspective, so it's usually me that gets 10 minutes and her that gets, you know, the entire
show. Really.
But it really is. It was when John was telling me, oh, this show is about you, I was like, oh, really? Wow, I don't think I've done one of those shows. So I really want to say thank you. It's such a blessing to be able to tell my story. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Your story is fascinating. I think the most interesting part. But, yeah, I'd love to hear if Sophia can give us and our audience, you know.
It sounds great. So you'll hear me take a couple deep breaths, and then you'll have Sophia. All right,
awesome.
See ya.
Okay.
Good, and hello, my friend. It is Sophia that speaks for the Miss Here and Now in grand joy to join you today. How are you being, brother?
I'm doing very well.
Ah, it is an honor. Thank you for giving me a little bit of time to chat today. It is very exciting to be with those that embrace the paranormal, yes? For I am considered beyond the veil. So thank you for parting the veil today and letting me come forth, yes?
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm very excited about hearing what you have to say.
Ah, are you leaving time just for me to speak? Yes, you are giving the platform to me, brother. Yes, I am welcome. I welcome questions, or I am happy to bring forth a couple of bits of tools, if you would like, yes?
Yes, just whatever you want to talk about is fine. We have like 10 minutes, so feel free to just talk about whatever.
Ah, well, grand. Let us say, when I am given an opportunity to speak to an audience, one of the most important things that I always place on the table is the idea of protecting oneself or creating what I would call an energy bubble, where you can, let us say, be in a temple or in a sacred place where you are allowed to hear your own wisdom. Because truly, brother, from my point of view, your planet is a crisscross of energy. It is a nightmare out there. Do you know what I mean by that?
I do.
Yes, the cell phones, the TV, all of the things going back and forth. It is very hard to hear thyself. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes, I think that's quite true.
Ah, so the thing that I offer in a quick point of view or time period is a way of clearing thyself. Because truly what I have to offer to the planet is hearing thyself. For each and every one of you are God, Goddess. You are the masters. You are the ones doing the creation here. Yet if you cannot hear your own soul chatting, then you are always pushed around by the winds of the planet. And truly, there are many people on your planet that are just pushed around all of the time. So the thing that I would love to present today is the energetic bubble. Is that all right with you?
Yes. Please.
Yes. All right, so can we play together? We'll do a little play version with me, yes?
Oh, I would love to.
All right, here we go. So the whole point here is we are going to create a sacred space around yourself. So we are going to start with the verbiage, any energy is not my own, return to source. Can you try that on?
Sure, that sounds like fun.
Go ahead, you say it out loud. Any energy is not my own, return to source.
Any energy that is not my own, return to source.
Ah, grand. And because you are so sweet, beloved, yes, I am going to ask you to get a bit more demanding. We are going to say, any energy is not my own, scram. Take a hike. See you later. Some version like that. Can you try it?
Sure. Any energy that's not of the source or of my own.
Yes.
Go to the source. Get lost. Get out of here. I want nothing to do with you.
Oh, very good, brother. Yes, we love that. We have to get a bit more demanding. Yes, we have to tell energies to take a hike, scram. It is our mothers that hold the key to our back doors. It is our friends and family that like to chat in our ear, yes? So once we tell energies to take a hike, then we actually name some names. So I will not put you on the spot, brother, I promise. But what I will do is name names for the planet. We would name our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our friends, whether they are on this planet or cross over. We name the collective energy of the planet. Take a hike. Go back to where you came from, no matter who it is. We name names. For when you name names, you ask those energies to leave, and no longer is that Bertie chirping in your ear. And we all have one of those Berties, whether it is our grandmother, whether it is our best friend. It is an energy that is always chatting in our ears. Are you familiar with this energy chatting in your ear, brother?
Oh, how could I not be? Of course I am.
Of course I am. We all have it. So I say to everyone, name names. Now, nobody needs to know that you do this. It's all right, you name names. I promise you, it is okay. And then what we do is work with the sacred fire, where we imagine ourselves stepping into a bonfire, and this energy clears through our system. So we just see that fire stepping in. We are not burned, and our system gets cleared. So you see it move through the feet, knees, all the legs, blah, 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 up through the top of the head, yes? And then we surround ourselves in a color. So what color is feeling really grand to you today, my friend?
I like purple.
Ah, good for you. It is the sacred color of remembrance. So we surround you in a purple bubble, 10 feet in all directions. And do you notice that anything has shifted? And if not, it's all right. But are you noticing anything changing?
Well, I'm certainly smiling really a lot.
Yes. What happens is we create a free place for you to be, and the smile is your version of freedom, the body feeling free from the combat, I will call it combat of energies that come at us. So this is what I call the energetic bubble, and the message today is, my friends, please, clear yourself, create a sacred temple for you to exist in, and when you do that, your soul, that higher self or unlimited self, really starts to give you the keys of how to be the biggest you have ever imagined. And brother, there is a big path for you. You know this, yes?
I'm hoping.
Come on, let's claim it today. I know, Sophia, that there is a big role for me on this planet, yes?
Sure, I think that you're right. I know that's true.
Good. And when we clear ourselves, we get connected to the voice that speaks truth and the planet that says, oh, you're so full of yourself, it's quiet. So I suggest to everyone trying this on, yes, and tracking it for about a week. And as you practice it, you will find that life changes quickly. And again, I am about offering quick tools to get to the point, yes? I love that we are working with high dimensions, yet at the same time, we have to work on the third dimension. So I get in there with the dirty laundry of your planet and give you the quickest way to clean that laundry and to smell fresh and clean. Fair enough?
Sounds great.
Very good. How did I do for time, brother, yes? I am not one that tracks time very well, yes?
Oh, no, the time is good. We still have like 5 minutes.
Grand. And is there a question or anything that we can go back and forth? Because truly, once we practice the energetic bubble, that is the greatest gift that I can give in a limited time. Yet I am curious to see what is coming up for you as I am speaking of this energy bubble, yes?
Well, I'm thinking about earth changes and all the things that are going on with our planet environmentally, with the ozone layer and global warming.
Yes.
How can we help ourselves through this transition to survive?
Very good. Thank you for you are bringing up what sensitive they feel, intuitive they feel the changes on the planet. And I know that we all want to go out there and save Gaia, yes? Figure it out and save the planet. Yes, you ready for me to offer a practical tool to you? You might not like it. I'm just going to warn you. Buckle the seatbelt,
okay.
All right? Fair enough.
Okay.
You're about to go over a bump, yes?
I'm ready.
The best way we can honor the planet is saying, I trust you, Gaia. I trust you. Because what is going on with the changes of the planet? There is so much fear that is creating it to be worse than it is. That if we had intuitive like you, yes, if we had sensitive that connected to the center of Gaia and understand that Gaia is a being, yes? You are familiar with Gaia Earth herself, yes?
Yes.
And that she has made this choice to allow the beings on your planet to beat her up a little bit, yes? To, let us say, abuse her a little bit. And she is in that choice. And when we trust her, when we say, Gaia, I trust in your changes. And I trust that you will come back to fullness. When we trust her, then all of a sudden we shift the collective, because it is the intuitive that can help shift the collective. So would I say this to a mass audience? Not necessarily, yes. I would ask them possibly to get out there, to connect with Earth, start to feel plants, to commune with nature. Yet to those that already are having conversations, oh no, this planet is in trouble, I say to you, instead of hearing the warning that she is screaming to the ones that are asleep, yes, the ones that are awake, if we can say, I trust you, beloved, all of a sudden you will resonate that energy out and you will watch people starting to make better choices around the planet. Does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes. I like it a lot. Very nice.
It's hard to do, though, to trust when you are watching, yes, all of the reports on television that say we are headed towards disaster, yes? So I ask you to watch them and say to Gaia, as you are watching the ice caps melt, that you say right there, right in the face of witnessing that change, you say, I trust. And then see how you feel in your body. And I can promise you all, you will feel power and you will feel connected to the truth of the being or entity of this planet that is asking the light workers to trust in her. And she will correct herself. She has the power to right herself. Do you agree?
I do, absolutely.
Oh, very good. Are we shaking on that, that you are going to trust her, yes?
I will trust her. I do trust her.
Thank you, brother. You are offering a great service to humanity, so thank you. Anything else coming up for you as we are playing here?
No, we're actually pretty much running out of time at this point.
Grand. Well, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure, yes?
Oh, it's been absolutely fantastic. You're wonderful.
Grand. Shall I bring the little one, the channel, back for you for the last minute, yes?
Yes, could you please?
All right. Thank you, my friend. It is an honor. You are God, Goddess. I am. So be it, and so it is. Namaste. Hello.